The Old Testament reading for the Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have given me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. While I was preparing today's message based on the gospel lesson, I couldn't help but think of one of the Beatitudes that the Pharisee should have listened to. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, just talking about Beatitudes for a second, there's a lot of meanings that have been attached to the Beatitudes over the centuries. Some have seen them as a means to salvation. Others have seen them for a guide to a successful life. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today is how to have inner peace. The word beatitude comes from the Latin beatus, which means happy or blissful. Now, a lot of people cloak themselves with inner peace. From the outside, they look like they have peace, but inwardly, it's turmoil. Now, there's four attitudes of eternal peace, or inner peace, I should say. From verse 3 of the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Also from Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Being humble is not something that we learn how to do. It's something that becomes part of our inner character. It also affects our attitude towards sin. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If we saw sin through God's eyes, we would be mournful and filled with grief. When we seek to cover up our sins, we get the wrong attitude, and then we don't have true inner peace. Luke chapter 18 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This past week, I found out that one of the days was National Children's Day, which is part of our gospel lesson about Jesus' attitude about children. So that's why I bring it up today. There's a well-known song. We all know it. Jesus loves the little children. And I Googled to hear it. You know the song. I'm not going to attempt to sing it, of course. But Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. As a sidebar, do you realize this is a controversial song today? Because it's considered racist. Because they've changed it to be more inclusive for red, brown, yellow, black, and white. Others have changed the lyrics to be even more inclusive. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Every color, shape, and size, they are precious in his eyes. They take a simple little song and they make it political. Oh, well, I am sure Jesus just pulls his hair out some days at us. But the word meek has many interpretations in English. It has the idea of being down to earth or unpretentious, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, giving to forbearance under injuries. Now, do you know who was the most meek man in the entire Old Testament? Moses. It says that in Numbers 12, that Moses was very weak, meek, above all men. Moses, the mighty leader of Israel, was very meek. He was not prone to anger, and he had a lot of forbearance under injuries. And sure needed that with the children of Israel complaining to him every day. You led us out in this wilderness to die. In Egypt, we had pots full of meat, we had pomegranates, and we had all this stuff. And they just complained to Moses, but he had the patience to put up with them. Excuse me. Jesus says in Matthew 11, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. You know, committee members, politicians, or business executives cannot come to a consensus on things because of pride, agenda, or just good old party loyalty. When they can't come up with consensus, it's a sign of arrogance and probably extreme greed of one sort or another. But when we receive mercy from God, we share it. That makes us the peacemakers of the world. You know, a single act of kindness can bring about harmony and peace to both people. There are so many acts of kindness that avail to us every day. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To continue on with part of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For as they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how can it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's no surprise that the world is not friendly to either God or Christianity with those inner values. Because there's an inner conflict within each and every one of us. We know what we should be doing, but we don't. The inner conflict is a much greater conflict between the forces of good under God and the forces of Satan. We can profess that we are Christians, but there's always that little twinge in us that wants to serve self. And it's because of our sinful human nature that we do fall into temptations. Jesus told this parable from Luke chapter 18, which was part of our gospel lesson. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as his tax collectors. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It makes us, myself included, uncomfortable to discuss how sinful we are or how weak we are in our human flesh. We need to look at ourselves, confess, repent, and then we'll have inner peace. That is how we get inner peace. We look inwardly, we repent, and then we have inwardly peace. Peace being defined as a relationship between God and man is right. When we repent of our sins, we are guaranteed our sins are repentant, and the relationship with God is right. When we submit to God and with God's work, we remove those pesky little sins or little habits from our lives. To continue with the gospel lesson, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus commands us in how we should deal with children. You know, unfortunately, we live in a society today where children decide whether the family is going to church or not. Parents will ask the kids, do you want to go to church today? Well, how many kids really want to go to church when they're young? Not when they have a chance to stay home and play or watch TV. But unfortunately, we live in a society that lets children decide. Or in some households, they only hear about Jesus at church. You know, when we allow other things to distract our children from learning about Jesus, we are hindering the little children. By the way, this text is one of the ones that we use in support of infant baptism. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them, to bring babies to Jesus to bless them. If they're good enough to be blessed, they're good enough to be baptized. No matter what we do in church when it comes to children's ministries, whether we have Sunday school, VBS, or even yesterday's trunk or treat, it is all with the idea of making Jesus known to the little kids. Which, by the way, I got to say about yesterday's trunk or treat, we passed out candy to 1,000 kids. about 500 flyers with our church's information. And we had one family that came up to us right away. They're Lutheran Missouri Synod moving into the area, and we're looking for a traditional, older Lutheran church to attend. Well, that's us. Then they have a couple of small kids, too, so I certainly hope they do show up. But everything we do in church, not only with the children's ministry, but with adults as well, is to make Jesus known to them. Now, we should not have any doubt that little children can believe in Jesus as well. Faith looks up to God as the perfect Father. Faith gives us a perfect peace with God. The relationship between God and man is right, and that's why you can have an inner peace in spite of the turmoil of the world around you. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen. And we continue our worship with our gifts to continue the work of His church.